Welcome to the Raise with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. We've got your daily Bible reading for March 20th, 2019, looking at Acts chapter 14. The same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas entered the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Paul and Barnabas stayed there a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by granting them the ability to perform miraculous signs and wonders. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, and some with the apostles. When there was a plot by both the Jews and Gentiles, together with their rulers, to mistreat and stone them, they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding countryside. There they kept on preaching the good news. In Lystra there was a man who was sitting down because he had no strength in his feet. He had never walked because he was lame from birth. When he was listening to Paul as he was speaking, Paul looked closely at him and saw that he had faith so that he could be healed. Paul said in a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the main speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and garlands to the city gates, because he wanted to offer sacrifices along with the crowds. But when the apostles Paul and Barnabas heard about this, they tore their clothes and rushed into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing these things? We too are men with the same nature as you. We are preaching the good news to you, so that you turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them. In past generations he allowed all nations to go their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without testimony of the good he does. He gives you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He fills you with food and fills your hearts with gladness." Even though they said these things, they had a hard time stopping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and persuaded the crowds to stone Paul. When they thought he was dead, they dragged him out of the city. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he stood up and went back into the city. The next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. After they preached the good news in that city and had gathered many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. They told them, "We must go through many troubles on our way to the kingdom of God." They had elders elected for them in every church, and with prayer and fasting, they entrusted them to the Lord, in whom they believed. When they had passed through Pisidia, they came down to Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been entrusted to the grace of God for the work they had just completed. When they arrived and called the church together, they reported everything God had done with them and how he opened the door of faith for the Gentiles. Then they stayed there a long time with the disciples. This is the word of our God. Once again, Luke includes details of time and place in such a way that we see that our faith is grounded in actual history, that God's word is preached to actual people, because we have an actual Savior who has taken on flesh, who is incarnate, and who came into this world at a particular time and place and did particular things for our salvation. And Paul and Barnabas preaching this faith, this incarnational faith, they kind of take this little fishhook up into modern-day Turkey, Galatia, Cappadocia, whatever the area is. You can check out the map in the show notes. We have a link there. You can just click it and see the map. It'll be helpful. And what we have is the exact same thing, that Paul starts at the synagogue and he's going to continue to preach at the synagogue until he's thrown out. And verse 2, especially in Iconium, he begins to run into a great deal of opposition. almost organized opposition from the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders. Verse 2, the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. The opposition they face isn't anything new. Jesus faced it also, as with all the other prophets before him. And the apostles Paul and Barnabas are going to face more of that same opposition wherever they go. So, verse 5, there's a plot by the Jews and Gentiles together with their rulers to mistreat and stone them. Paul and Barnabas said, yeah, it's probably time to get out of town. Fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding countryside. The Lycaonians, talking about an ethnic group with their own particular language. And we notice that in verse 11. When the crowd saw what Paul had done after healing that man who was lame in his feet, they raised their voices, saying in their own Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." And the interesting backstory here is that there's a legend that Zeus and Hermes had come down to Lystra in human form, that they had concealed their identity and visited the city, and had been ignored and mistreated. And because of that, Zeus told the people that his temple was not allowed to be within the city gates anymore, so they moved the temple outside of the city. So then Paul and Barnabas show up, and the people are aware of this legend, and they see something miraculous that happened, and they said, well, we better start celebrating. You know, Zeus and Hermes are here again. We can't let this pass by. We can't let it happen again where Zeus and Hermes visit our city, and then we don't recognize them. And so the crowds gather pretty quickly. Verse 13. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, because Zeus had kicked him out of the city, the priest brought bulls and garlands to the city gates. He's like, I'm ready, guys. Just come on out here, and we'll start the celebration. He wanted to offer sacrifices along with the crowds. And what blindness to see that Paul and Barnabas had provided this healing, and that God had worked through them to provide this healing. And the people say, and focus on the person. Focus on, just as any other religion, focusing on the created things rather than the Creator. The blindness of the human heart and the sinful heart, and the blindness Paul kind of counteracts as quickly as he can, shouting and yelling, why are you doing these things? We too are men with the same nature as you. We are preaching the good news that you would turn from these worthless things to the living God, made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, crops in their season, that whole bit. He focuses on the natural knowledge of God, what they can know about God from nature. And I'm sure that the next segue, you know, once the crowd calmed down and stops their ideas of sacrificing to them, the next segue would be to focus on maybe the conscience, or to talk about how this God who controls all of nature is going to hold them accountable. But he doesn't really get that far. Verse 18, even though they said these things, they had a hard time stopping the crowds from sacrificing to them. But the blindness of the human heart is such that the crowd had just been on the verge of sacrificing to them. And if a crowd is building and is really excited, it doesn't take too much to re-divert their attention and to turn that attention. Verse 19, some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, persuaded the crowds to stone Paul. Just that quick switch. They drag him outside of the city, leave him there for dead. Verse 20, Paul gets up and walks back into the city. Because sometimes you just gotta do it. You just have to put up with whatever is going to be coming your way, and demonstrate that suffering for the name of Christ isn't a bad thing. Demonstrate the same sort of heart and will to the believers who are there, that, hey, look what our pastor's been through, and he cares enough about us and cares enough about the message of salvation that he came back to us, that he brushed the stone dust off his arms, and we got him a couple ice packs, and he sat down and talked church with us the rest of the evening. The rest of the chapter details how they kind of reverse that fish hook, get back down to the shoreline, and take a ship back to Antioch. And it's in this setting, right here after verse 28, Paul gets back to Antioch, and he writes the book of Galatians. The province of Galatia is in northern Turkey, but the people that he had just ministered to are ethnic Galatians. And so he's going to be writing to them after having just started some churches there in among the ethnic Galatians, and he's going to be writing to them almost in a sweat because he's going to hear how they've been deceived by the Jewish people again. But we'll begin with that next time. As you go about your day today, take a moment to thank God for the freedom we have to worship Him when and where it suits us, as well as take a moment to thank God for the leadership of men like Paul, who demonstrate that suffering for the gospel and the message of the gospel is worth any and every opposition that we might face. You can find us Sunday mornings at 2250 South Hollandsylvania Road in Maumee. You can also find us Wednesday evenings. We have 6 p.m. supper and 7 p.m. worship for Lent. Finally, check us out on Facebook. Just search Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.